Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, joined as always by Brandon Scott, otherwise known as B Scott. Well, we have come to the end of the college football season, and we have maybe one of the best weekends that B Scott has ever experienced coming up, as his Purdue Boilermakers are going to be playing in the Big Ten Championship. We're going to be talking about that, previewing that game. That's going to be a large portion of the show. We're also going to kind of debrief the regular season for some of the other schools in the state of Indiana. We'll talk some Notre Dame and IU, as well as some small college football. But the main story that we're going to get to today is first and foremost, B Scott, I have to ask, are you going to the game on Saturday?
I am going
all
to the
right
game.
Let's go. I was wondering
going to the game. Okay. whether I'm sitting in a Purdue section or a Michigan section, I have no idea. Whatever, I don't even know, but I don't even care. I'm going. I'm fully expecting Purdue to get beat and potentially beat badly. I don't even care. I just want to witness Purdue playing in the Big Ten Championship game, because like 6 years ago, after they had fired Daryl Hazel, right prior to hiring Jeff Brohm, never thought this would ever happen. Never thought. Especially even this year, after getting torched by Wisconsin and Iowa, didn't think this was going to happen. But hey, it did. And this is also coming off of historically the best weekend ever in Purdue athletics history, with the football team clinching the Big Ten West and going to the championship game, and then the men's basketball team beating West Virginia, number six Gonzaga and number eight Duke, all in the same weekend. I mean, it was just like the perfect weekend, and those types of things never happen. Hopefully we haven't used up all of our good karma, good mojo on this past weekend, and can carry some of it over to next weekend, a bowl game, and maybe a run in March for the basketball team.
Hey, I mean, what gives me hope about this weekend for Purdue is the fact that, I was telling my parents going into the game against IU, I was like, you watch. I was like, whenever Purdue has something at stake, that's when they lose. I was like,
I thought after that first half, I was like, here we go.
Yeah. Like, if,
here we go again.
Yeah. I was like, when they have like nothing left to play for, that's when they come out and they're the spoiler makers and they beat all these teams or whatever. But it's when they're in this, they have an opportunity to do something. That's when they fall behind. I mean, and I was even cursing myself because I had Purdue, -6.5 in one of my parlays. Well, in my main parlay, I don't want to talk too much about that, because the only leg I needed to finish it off and win that bet was Oregon +1, and they blew a 28-point lead. So I don't want to talk about it, but but it's what I get for putting my faith in the Ducks. So I had Purdue -6.5, and when IU was like up early and all that stuff, I was like, Craig, you said that Purdue's not going to win today because they have something on the line and it's not going to work out. And I was like, and of course I picked Purdue thinking that they'll, get past that and it's not going to happen. But lo and behold, it does. And yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. And I mean, right. I even said it on the live for the high school broadcast. I was like, it's cool because no matter what happens from here, Purdue is the first, Indiana team to clinch a spot in the Big Ten Championship, play at Lucas Oil, play that de facto home game, which is still pretty special and cool.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the first half, looking back on the first half and knowing what I know now, makes total sense why Purdue, especially on offense, just looked lethargic, looked like their minds were elsewhere. So knowing what I know now about what was going on behind the scenes, with Aiden O'Connell, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And for people that don't know, his older brother, Sean, passed away. I believe it was Friday. So yeah, it made a lot of sense that things were just not clicking in that first half. And I think everybody rallied around him then in the second half, obviously. But yeah, it was unreal. I'm definitely going. I need to witness it and experience it. That's, I mean, yeah, but you're right. When Purdue has nothing really on the line, they play amazing football. And that's the thing here. Purdue has nothing to lose. That makes a team that has nothing to lose is a very dangerous team. Now, the same can be said, though, for Michigan. They don't really have anything to lose. They are kind of locked into the playoff at this point. I think the worst, if they lost this game and it was a close game and they lost it, they would probably fall to about four, because you're not going to bump Ohio State in over Michigan when Ohio State just got run out of their own building by Michigan. So, and you're not bumping up like an Alabama or anybody like that who, you know, with two losses. So it's Michigan is in a place where, you know, they don't want to lose because they don't want to have to play Georgia potentially in the first round. But at the same time, for them, I mean, it's losing isn't going to crush their season dreams either.
You have a lot more faith in the College Football Playoff Committee than I do. I think their first opportunity to put, because I mean, their new rankings just got released tonight.
And Ohio State's five.
Right, and Alabama's six. So we'll see what happens.
Alabama's a two-loss team. You're not putting a two-loss team who lost to LSU, who lost to Texas A&M.
I will say the loss to LSU does look worse now. So I do agree with you on that. We'll get to the teams we think will be in the College Football Playoff here a little bit later. But first, let's go ahead and get into Purdue and Michigan. The game B-Scott will be at on Saturday, Purdue versus Michigan, Big Ten championship game. It was a lot of fun on the final weekend of the regular season. The East was decided when number 2 Ohio State hosted number 3 Michigan. Michigan wins that one in impressive fashion, 45-23 over the Buckeyes. The Wolverines outscored Ohio State 21-3 in the fourth quarter. J.J. McCarthy had 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 touchdown on the ground. Donovan Edwards had 216 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then the Wild West was finally won. It was a situation where a couple of weeks ago you could theoretically have said, well, you know, it would be insane, but literally any team can win the West right now. Purdue got their Black Friday deal in the form of Nebraska defeating Iowa 24-17, which meant that Purdue wins and, you know, they win the bucket game and they're in. Purdue does win that bucket game 30-16. Aiden O'Connell went
16. That's a joke.
Yeah.
That last touchdown was just like
in garbage time. Yep.
Garbage time. I mean, technically Purdue if you take that one away, Purdue outscored IU in that second half 27-3.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, that is.
Aiden O'Connell had 290 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devin Mockabee, 99 yards on the ground with a touchdown. Charlie Jones, 4 catches, 143 yards, and a touchdown. So that sets us up for Purdue and Michigan, Big Ten championship game. The first meeting between these two schools since 2017. Michigan has won the last 4 meetings. The last Purdue win versus Michigan was in November of 2009. So I was in my...
It was actually, that was a Joey Elliott-led team coached by Danny Hope that went into the Big House, beat Michigan.
So that wasn't like...
They also beat Ohio State that same year.
Did they?
They did. It was the only time that, well, because then they almost beat Notre Dame earlier in the season as well, and they did not go to a bowl. They did not become bowl eligible. But I had a team. That team was like led by Joey Elliott, Keith Smith at wide receiver, Ryan Kerrigan was on the line, Brandon King at corner. I mean, it was a really good team. Carson Wiggs was the kicker. So it was a really good team.
Yeah. So to preview this game, we're going to do kind of a special edition of Hot or Cold, a special Big Ten Championship edition of Hot or Cold. Basically, if you're new to the show, I say a take and we discuss whether or not it's a hot take or a cold take. So take number one, the Purdue passing attack will outgain the Michigan rushing attack. Looking at this, Purdue has the number two passing attack in the Big Ten, averaging 281 yards per game. Michigan has the fourth best pass defense in the conference. One thing I think is pretty interesting is that the Boilermakers are 2-1 versus the three pass defenses ahead of Michigan. Now, granted, they were held to 237 yards against Illinois. They were held to 199 yards versus Minnesota and 168 yards versus Iowa, which that was their loss, which is kind of.
And that was also the wind was blowing like 50 miles an hour.
Exactly. So
that one. And then the Minnesota one, that was Devin Mockabee's coming out party. And right. He just ran roughshod over the Gophers, so you didn't really have to pass all that much that day.
Right. So but basically what I'm saying is that they've, even when they've been playing those tough pass defenses in the Big Ten, they've been able to overcome that and more times than not get the win. Ohio State, the top passing offense in the conference, had nearly 350 yards versus the Michigan defense. So it does give you some hope for what Purdue can do through the air. But ultimately, I am going to say that this is a cold take. Michigan has the top rushing offense in the Big Ten, averaging 245 yards per game. Purdue is eighth against the run in the conference. We're likely going to see Blake Corum back. He was probably...
No, we're not.
We're not? Okay, cool.
Nope.
Well, because it said he was probable on the...
Yeah, but then Jim Harbaugh also came out and said he's going to need some work done.
Okay. Well,
he was probable against Ohio State. He tried to go, and it was not good for him. He could not go.
Regardless, they did just, even if he can't go, I mean, Donovan Edwards just had a big game against Ohio State as well. So
Donovan Edwards has two broken thumbs.
Okay, well, then whatever. I still think Michigan is going to be able to run the football well. Yeah. You know, Purdue's still going to get theirs through the air. But I think the safer bet is the Michigan rushing attack. So I'm going to say it's a cold take, and I'm going with Michigan's rushing attack to have the better game.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a cold take as well. It's going to be close, and it's not going to be like a big difference. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say this is actually going to be a hot take. I think Purdue's passing attack does outgain the rushing attack. Now, Purdue has given up some big rushers this year against, obviously, against Wisconsin and then Iowa as well. But, I mean, they didn't put up more rushing yards than Purdue is averaging right now in passing yards. So by looking at that, I'm going to say it's a hot take. However, this thing could switch really quickly. Donovan Edwards will play. He's got two broken thumbs, so the only issue there is potential ball security. That could be an issue. However, Purdue's got a really deep defensive line, but their most underrated and at the same time we're now realizing is their best defensive lineman, Branson Dean. He is also going to be out for this game. Branson Dean means a lot to that defensive line. So that's a huge loss for Purdue. I'm still going to say this is a hot take, though, just based off of averages. But it's not super hot. Can I say that? It's lukewarm.
Yeah. Lukewarm can be your take. That is 100% okay.
I mean, look, when you look at the yardage between Michigan and Ohio State just blew Michigan out of the water when it came down to yardage. But Ohio State only had like 10 or something. I don't know. I know it's like Ohio State had a ton of yardage. They just could not score. So Michigan, I think if they're going to look to the passing game in this game for sure, like they did this past weekend as well with J.J. McCarthy finding success hitting the deep ball. And if there's one thing that Purdue has a weakness in, it's defending the deep ball. So that's why I think this could be a hot take, is because I think Michigan's going to focus more so on their pass game and utilize Donovan Edwards and J.J. McCarthy to open things up a little for the passing game in the run game.
Yeah, that was a very impressive game that McCarthy had through the air. I definitely was surprised because, you normally see this team live and die on the ground. I just checked. Blake Corum is still listed as probable, so I don't know if that's,
I don't think
gonna
they're
change.
Gonna remove him, but
probably.
Just
well,
based
I mean,
off of what
I mean, and plus,
has
like
been said,
plus, I mean, strategically, you'd like to still say he's probable, just so Purdue game plans for him, and then so So we'll
And
see.
it's not
But
like
yeah.
there's an yeah, it's not like there's an IR or anything.
Well, right,
But
right. But he's not listed as like doubtful or out yet. So we'll
right.
see. But regardless, I do think it could go either way. I'm going to put my hat in the ring for Michigan though. All right. So take number two. There will be more than 50 points scored in the Big Ten championship. The over under is 50 points. This is the 12th Big Ten title game. In the 11 previous, both teams have scored 30 plus points just once, and it hasn't happened since 2016. So you haven't seen both teams really light it up since 2016. However, at least one team has crossed the 30 plus point threshold in 8 of 11 games in the Big Ten championship. The average total points for the Big Ten championship game is 58.7. These are two top five offenses in the Big Ten. Michigan averages 40 points per game. Purdue, as the spoiler makers in those in these big games, averages 36 points versus top five teams under Jeff Brohm. So this is a team that in the big moment where they are 3-1 against top five teams, they have been able to get the offense going and have really kind of, you know, shown that they can score with the best of them in these big games. Whether it's one team doing all the scoring, I think we will see a healthy total of points. So I'm going with it's going to be a hot take. I think we're going to see some points scored in this game. I don't think we're going to see, you know, especially indoors, I don't think we're going to see, you know, a, you know, 17-14 game. It's going to be both teams. Well, hopefully both teams. Hopefully it's not just one team going up and down the field. I will say there is a little bit of a difference, and we'll get to it here in a minute, between the Purdue team and the Iowa team that made the Big Ten championship last year. That got run out of the building 42-3. I think it is. We won't see that result necessarily.
No.
I do think there's going to be a healthy amount of points scored in this game.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely a hot take. Purdue's offense has struggled here the past few weeks, but that's as things have gotten colder. The Indiana winds have started blowing extra hard. Rain has been falling, snow, whatever it be. Purdue's offense does not play well. It never really has played well in bad weather. Well, that goes right out the window. You're playing in a climate-controlled building. I think this is definitely going to be a hot take. Michigan's going to put up points. Purdue's going to come in firing on all cylinders. They're going to put up points. I mean, all it really takes to get the over is a final score of 26-25. And
yeah.
Boom, you hit it. So I think it's attainable to get over 50 easily. But yeah, this is an easy one. This is definitely a hot take, because I just think these offenses, they're going to take full advantage of being inside, out of the elements, and going, wow, this could be fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be a fun game to watch. And the final question before we get to our prediction here, the final take, I should say, Michigan will cover the spread right now, or at least the last time I looked at it, which was when I was making the outline the other day. The spread was 16.5 in favor of
Michigan. I think it's
Michigan.
Still
is it
there.
Still there? Okay.
Yeah.
So it could change, you know, as time goes along, but right now it is 16.5. You know, that's the question. Will Michigan cover the spread? Last year, Michigan became the first team to cover the spread in the Big Ten Championship since 2018. The favorite has covered the spread in 5 of 11 Big Ten Championship games. One thing I thought was funny when I was looking at these numbers was the year that Ohio State won 59-0, the Cardell Jones game, Wisconsin was actually understandably favored by 4. So I was like, man, if you pick the Wisconsin to cover the spread in that game, you got beat by 63 points essentially. Now there was one game that was a push, Michigan State and Iowa. Michigan State was predicted to win by 3, and they did. The Wolverines are 7-4-1 versus the spread this season, according to covers.com. The three games they didn't cover in the Big Ten, Maryland, IU, and Illinois, are all teams that Purdue beat during the regular season. As the underdog, Purdue is 3-3 against the spread. All three wins were outright against the spread. Everything about what I've just rattled off to you kind of says that it's a coin flip, you know, as far as whether or not you know, Michigan will cover the spread. There's nothing demonstrative that's saying that, you know, that it's going to be, oh yeah, for sure, it's going to be a 17-point Michigan win. So I'm going to have some faith and say this game is going to be closer than some may think. I'm going to say this is a cold take. I think it's, you know, it may be 14, you know, it may be, you know, 10, whatever it is. But I think Purdue can keep it close. You know, like you even said, I mean, you know, a team that's got a chip on their shoulder, has nothing to lose, you know, is dangerous. Michigan might be thinking like, oh, all we have to do is beat 8-4 Purdue. And, you know, it's, we get in the, you know, whatever. Now, like I said, I mean, Iowa, you know, last year when Iowa made the Big Ten championship game, you know, a big difference between them and this Purdue team is the fact that Iowa team was like almost, I think they were 13th out of 14 in terms of like total yards per game, like offensively. So their offense wasn't nearly as geared up, and Michigan came in again with one of the best defenses in the Big Ten, if not the best defense in the Big Ten. So of course they shut down Iowa and, you know, scored a bunch of points. I think this year it's going to be, you know, a lot more points scored by Purdue. I think, you know, like I said, it could be 13, it could be 14, it could be 10, but I think ultimately Purdue keeps it at least closer than the folks in Vegas may think.
Yeah, I agree. This is a cold take. I mean, could Purdue, I think Purdue could still, I mean, I'm going to say Purdue loses by two scores, but you know, that's like 10, 13, 14, and that's still not covering the spread. So I'm going to say this is a cold take. I don't think Michigan covers the spread. At least I hope they don't. I want it to be competitive. I really don't want it to be a blowout, but it could at the same time. But I'm going to still say cold take.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get our championship prediction for the Big Ten. Who you think is going to win the game? I'm going to go with Michigan here. Ultimately, Michigan has the second best offense in the conference, both in terms of yards and scoring. You know, we're going to see, you know, obviously we're not sure who's suiting up at tailback for them. I mean, we're going to see, like you said, Donovan Edwards, you know, for sure. We'll see what else can be lumped in that rushing attack. You know, they are coming off their best game of the season offensively, I would think. So I know they scored more points in other games, but to score, you know, to score 45 points against Ohio State, I mean, I think you would argue that's the best game of the season for Michigan by far. So they're coming off of that performance. Defensively, Michigan is the top defense in terms of yards allowed, and their decimal place is off the top defense in terms of points allowed in the conference. Well, I think Purdue has a better offense than Iowa did last season and won't allow things to get as ugly as last season's Big Ten title game. I think ultimately Michigan does get the win here. So I've got Michigan winning the Big Ten. It's going to be closer than the experts think, as I, you know, quote Lee Corso here, but I think ultimately Michigan does get the job done.
Yeah, I agree. I think Michigan wins this game. They just have, their defense is good top to bottom. Some of the areas that we saw them flex their muscle in last week is not areas we've seen them really flex this season. And mostly the deep pass. And that's where, like I said, Purdue struggles. They struggled against Nebraska with that. How many deep passes did they give up in that one? I mean, I think they gave up the three longest passes at that time of the season in the Big Ten. So that's going to be an issue. It could potentially turn into a track meet, but because of Michigan's defense, I think they ultimately come out on top. And like I said, I think it's by two scores.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope, like I said, I'm hoping that the spoiler makers have like one more in them. I think it could be really cool if that happens. I'm rooting, honestly, like every conference championship weekend. We'll get to our conference championship picks here in just a second, but I'm always rooting for chaos. And so the more chaos you can introduce, the better. So hopefully we can see Purdue get the win, but yeah, I think, you know, right now what we'll do is we'll pick Michigan and then we'll be pleasantly surprised. That's what the hope is, you know, about the Big Ten championship.
But maybe it's the crash kiss of death.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we can hope for. but some teams that are hoping that the crash kiss of death is not here are the rest of the conference championships that we're going to pick as well. We thought it would be fun to go ahead and pick the rest of the conference champions on championship weekend. We'll start with the Pac-12. We've got number 12 Utah versus number 4 USC. And then in the Big 12, we've got number 13, Kansas, and number 3, TCU. In the SEC, number 11, LSU versus number 1, Georgia. And in the ACC, we have number 10, Clemson, and number 24, UNC. So starting with the Pac-12, USC versus Utah. I'm going to go with USC in this one. Number four, USC. I had USC as a college football playoff team at the beginning of the year, and they're on track to be the first Pac-12 team since 2016 to make the college football playoff. Utah won 43-42 in Utah on a two-point conversion earlier this season. So, you know, the best of the best scenario you could have, be at home, win on a two-point conversion. So with all that, I mean, in a game that USC was very much in, you know, it was the only loss for USC on the season, so I'll just fade that result. Caleb Williams is playing really well as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's putting his name in the Heisman conversation right now, so I think USC wins this game.
Yeah, I agree. This is USC's game to lose, honestly. And the way they're playing right now, they're playing at an extremely high level. I thought Notre Dame potentially could trip them up, but the way they came out and played against Notre Dame made me go, ooh, this is not going to be a fun team for anybody to face in the college football playoff. So I think they're in. I think they're in. They win their conference championship, and they are on their way to the college football playoff.
In the Big 12, number 13, Kansas State versus number 3, TCU. These rankings are, I don't know what the college football ranking playoff has Kansas State at.
You got it right.
This is going. That's where they are.
I don't know about K-State. I just know about the top five. Yeah, six. Yeah,
right. So that's what I'm saying. I did this based on the AP the other day. So that's what it is in the AP top 25 right now. Number 13 K-State versus number 3 TCU. TCU won the regular season matchup 38-28. The Frogs trailed 28-10 at one point, 28-17 at halftime, outscored the Wildcats 21-0 in the second half. They forced two interceptions while not turning the ball over once. Both INTs came in that second half. These are two teams. They're in the top 15 in the country in terms of turnover margin. Both teams take care of the ball really well. This is a scary K-State team. I'm really kind of interested to see what they can do. You know, they're going to come in on a neutral turf, knowing that they had this playoff team on the ropes, and I think that motivates them. I think they know that they're going to say, "Hey, we can do this. We had it, the situation, literally in the palm of our hands earlier. We let it slip away in Fort Worth. I think that's where they play. Fort Worth is where TCU plays. So we had it, you know, in our grasp. We let it slip away. We can get them this time on a neutral field. I'm actually going to go with K-State with the upset here. It's so close. I have belief in this K-State team that has a couple of impressive wins on the season already. Obviously, making the Big 12 championship game, they've been a really good team all year. So I've got K-State in the upset here.
Is this game being played in Dallas?
Mm-hmm. So a TCU home game.
Basically. Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Man, this is tough. I'm going to go with TCU. My heart wants to say K-State, because if K-State beats TCU, then Ohio State will backdoor their way into the playoff. But TCU, they're on a mission. They're on a mission. But however, K-State beating TCU would be the most Big 12 thing ever when it comes to the college football playoff. That's more of a Pac-12 thing.
I was gonna say, I think it's both.
Either
I
one.
Think it's, yeah, I think it's both. I think there's a if these conferences do what they've done through the entirety of the college football playoff era, then we'll be discussing, hey, does Alabama and Ohio State how are they gonna get in somehow? Because now I saw a TikTok earlier today that I, you know, really kind of made me think, and I agree with it. I'm pretty sure, that the more I've thought about it is that TCU should be in regardless. They beat this K-State team earlier in the season. So they've beat every team on their schedule. They shouldn't be punished for playing in their conference championship game. It shouldn't be. I mean, we've seen it plenty of times before, a team that hasn't played for their championship get in because, you know, a team that did play for their championship lost. So we know the playoff committee likes to do that, but it shouldn't be a punishment that you played, especially because you played and lost to a team you already beat in the regular season. Like, it shouldn't be a punishment to play for the conference championship game. So
right.
I don't think the committee feels the same way, but I think that's how I feel about TCU. I think that TCU should be in regardless. Fine, if USC loses to Utah, they were 0-2 against Utah, so that at least makes a little bit more sense. But I think TCU should be in regardless. Like I said, I don't think the committee feels that way, but that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I'm going to go with TCU though in this one. Their defense is playing at a really high level right now. This team, they have a sense about them that, they're on a mission. The mission is to get to the playoff. They've taken care of business. Yeah, they've had some close ones, but at the same time, they've also gone out and really just put their foot on their opponent's throat a couple times as well. I'm going TCU in this one. I think. Yeah, I mean, K-State kind of tripped over themselves a little bit getting to this point. So I think TCU takes full advantage of that.
In the SEC, number 11 LSU versus number 1 Georgia. Not a lot to really talk about with this one. As much as I wanted to see chaos and wanted to see, because I figured LSU would come in if they had won against Texas A&M. I figured they were going to come in as number 4. I figured the College Football Playoff Committee was going to be like, oh, for the SEC championship game, because regardless, if LSU, if LSU had won, they'd be in. So it wouldn't matter if they were ranked number 4 because they would be in. And so you'd have two SEC teams in. But and then if Georgia won, well, okay, LSU loses anyway, they move down. So I figured that's what they would do. But yeah, LSU loses to Texas A&M. Now I will say this. Well, first of all, I'll just say my pick. It's number 1 Georgia. We know that. Not gonna say a lot about this one. Georgia's the best team in the country, best defense in terms of points allowed per game, eighth best offense. Not too many scares along the way. And after LSU lost to A&M, I've lost any faith of an upset here. But I will say this, it would be the epitome of the college football playoff if the winner of the SEC, this conference that can do no wrong in the eyes of the committee, and it's backed up by a lot of facts and data. I'm not trying to be one of those people that says the SEC is overrated. They're very good. But it would be the epitome of the college football playoff committee if the winner, if LSU were to win and still not get in, like, okay, then okay, throw the whole college football playoff out the window then, because then you're saying that the best conference, the winner of the best conference doesn't matter, essentially. So,
But isn't LSU a three loss team?
right, but that's what I'm saying though. Like I because when they because the notification, the thought process that I went on here is that I got the notification on Saturday night when LSU lost. The headline from ESPN was college football hopes are dashed for the Tigers. I'm like,
Well, yeah.
I was like, but are they? Because if they win the SEC and they beat Georgia, or and especially if there's some, buffoonery at the top with TCU and USC, are you telling me that the committee m won't put LSU in potentially, or move them up into a position to get in at least?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? See, I
Could
because.
be good. Could you have the same argument then about Purdue
No,
beating Michigan?
because they're not the SEC. This is we were very much aware that the SEC has their own rules. The SEC is the only conference that has ever gotten two teams in the playoff. We've never seen two Big Ten teams. We've seen the Big Ten champion glossed over before in favor of in favor of Ohio State, who didn't play for a conference championship in 2016. So we've seen other conferences' championships get completely thrown out the window in favor of a team that didn't play in it. But the SEC is the only conference that has, on multiple occasions, seen two teams get into the college football playoff. Heck, we haven't seen
Yeah, but none
a
of them
Big
were a
12.
three loss.
We haven't seen a Big 12 team not named Oklahoma in the Big Ten in the college football playoff. So, right, and I get three losses, but at the same time, like I'm saying, like you're telling me the best conference that's got all like that, has been undisputed the best conference for the last 15 years. You're telling me that the winner of that conference doesn't get in?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. There's no way they jump LSU 7 spots
But I'm saying,
at
but I.
with 3 losses and one of them being against a bad Texas A&M team.
Right, but I'm
And
saying that.
another one, didn't they lose to Florida State early on in the season as
Yeah, they
well?
lost to Florida State by one. They got absolutely clobbered by Tennessee, and they lost to Texas A&M. So their losses are terrible. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not advocating that LSU should get in. I'm just saying, for one, I'm still not completely sold that they wouldn't. And I do think that it would be, like I'm saying, that it would be the epitome of the college football playoff to not put them in and say, like, to say this conference is the best and no one else even compares, but then not put the champion of that conference in would be the epitome of the college football playoff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it happening though.
Yeah. I mean, it probably won't, but I'm just
like, let's just be honest. The SEC is getting in regardless.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't
of that,
it be
the outcome? It's right. Going to be Georgia. Georgia's in.
Hell, in my mind, there's a scenario where Georgia loses, TCU or USC loses, or both. Like, if there is a chance here that even if Georgia loses, you could see Georgia and Alabama both in the college football playoff. There is a chance.
If Georgia,
neither of which won the SEC.
This is the scenario that would be the worst case scenario for the playoff committee. TCU loses, USC loses, Georgia and Michigan win. Okay, fine. Who do you put at 3 and 4?
I think you're going to see Michigan, Ohio State. I think you're going to see
and Alabama.
Alabama and Ohio State. I think you put Ohio or sorry, you put Michigan at or sorry, I can't talk. You're
put
putting Alabama
Georgia at
4.
One. Yeah, Alabama at 4.
So you have what they, you know, what probably should have been the SEC championship game and a rematch of last year's title game, and then you have a rematch of Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah.
So that's what you're probably going to see, because
everybody will be standing on every mountaintop screaming about this.
Yeah.
Like, what a joke. But it's possible.
Yeah.
It's super possible.
Final championship to predict here from the Power Five conferences, number 10 Clemson versus number 24 UNC. I'm going to go with number 10 Clemson here. You do have two of the top five offenses in the SEC in this game, or in the ACC in this game, as far as yards per game are concerned. You have two of the top four in terms of points per game. Clemson is a top five defensively in terms of points allowed per game and yards allowed per game, while UNC is dead last. So, you do have a really good offense in Clemson against a really bad defense in UNC. I think that the defense for Clemson will be able to shut down UNC's offense. Also, Clemson hasn't lost back-to-back games since 2011. They lost to South Carolina this last week. So they're going to
Bieber ball, baby.
They're going to win this one. So yeah, Clemson wins the ACC.
Yeah, I'm going to take Clemson on this one as well. North Carolina has a bright future with their freshman quarterback, but this is going to be tough. Clemson's got something to prove. They're a little angry about getting themselves out of the playoff picture with a loss to South Carolina. So they're going to take it out on the other Carolina, North.
Yes. So I think where we land on the college football playoff, I think it's going for me. I think it's going to be number one, Georgia, number two, Michigan. USC gets in at number three. And I do think Ohio State gets in at 4, because I do have TCU losing. So as much as I want to see TCU be locked in, I don't think that they are. So I think that's going to be your four teams. I think you'll see Georgia, Michigan, USC, and Ohio State.
Yeah. So I guess based off of my conference championship picks, I got to go with that. Going Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC.
Yeah.
But I could see USC and TCU flip-flopping.
Yeah. Yeah,
it really matters. Like, it really matters.
I mean, it does in terms of, because I will say this. I like TCU / USC against Michigan more than I like them against Georgia.
Yeah.
So you're basically, because I think USC Georgia might be one I think that the committee, you know, going for TV ratings, going for what's going to be the more sexy championship matchup, would be like, okay, which team are we okay with upsetting Michigan? Because we don't think TCU or USC can beat Georgia, which I don't think so either. So who is going to be the sexier matchup, and I agree. They'd be like, okay, regardless, if Michigan wins or USC wins, we like both of those teams, because either it's one versus two or it's, you know, LA versus, you know, Georgia. It's, you know, the pretty boy, you know, Californians.
Well, it also has to do with the markets.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
LA is as big as it gets. So.
Right. So yeah, I think that's what it's going to end up being. I do agree with that. We're going to talk about some of the other schools around the state of Indiana. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about Anchor and our friends of the show here.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now, where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
Looking at the rest of the schools here in Indiana, we're going to kind of do a little debrief as the regular season is over across college football. So what are some of the storylines around the state of Indiana? Well, first, let's stop in South Bend with Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish finish 8-4 after their loss to USC. It started about as rough as you could get with their 0-2 start on the season. And so, you know, this question is kind of left over from when we were going to talk about college football last time, before, you know, the whole news with Jeff Saturday broke. But I think it's, you know, even a better question suited for now. What grade would you give Marcus Freeman for his first season at Notre Dame? You know, it would have been it would have been as low as a D after the loss to Marshall. It was not looking good. The Irish, though, continued to improve week in and week out. They were back amongst the ranked teams, and they are now even amongst the ranked teams. You know, people do forget Brian Kelly was 8-5 in his first two seasons in South Bend, so it wasn't all, you know, sunshines and rainbows. Charlie Weiss was 9-3. Tyrone Willingham was 10-3. You'd have to go back to the 1960s to find a Notre Dame coach with fewer than three losses in their first season. So not even like Lou Holtz was super awesome through his, you know, first few seasons here. So, I mean, when we would have talked about this, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, they were in the New Year's Six Bowl hunt. I don't think that they're, you know, in contention for that anymore. I've seen Gator Bowl. I've seen, you know, a couple other bowl games. So nothing, no super prestigious bowl this year, not a New Year's Six Bowl. But, you know, had they beat USC, it would have been a B plus, bordering on an A. A and above would have been college football playoff contention. But I think all around, all things considered, you know, and also factoring in the win over Clemson and how, you know, crazy that win was. I mean, they absolutely dominated Clemson. I would say it was a solid first season with Marcus Freeman at the helm. I'll give him a B. I think it was a solid season. I'm impressed with where they can go. I think he's the right fit. I think they are going to continue to improve. So, yeah, I think Marcus Freeman earns a B for his first year in South Bend.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with an A minus, mostly because of the stats that you mentioned above about the other coaches and their debuts with Notre Dame. The reason I think people were so harsh and came down so hard on Marcus Freeman was because of the hype surrounding Notre Dame with his hire and how it became like a rock star type hire, and recruits were all about playing for Marcus Freeman. You got to realize, though, yeah, you can bring in a lot of freshmen, good freshmen, but they're still freshmen. And this is his first head coaching gig. There's a lot of things that they overlooked. And then when those growing pains emerged, they were like, oh, no, this is unacceptable. This is totally unacceptable. This is not what we were promised. It's like, no. Nobody promised you anything. It was just Notre Dame took a different approach to their persona. It became a rock star brand again. Like, people were talking about it highly. People wanted to be there. They want to play there. And there was all this momentum. However, there was still going to be those growing pains, and they didn't expect that to happen. So I'm giving him an A minus because he could have lost control of this team and this program quickly and the boosters could have turned on him quickly after that that loss to Marshall. So he was able to ride that storm out and get the team improving. Obviously, USC is playing at a different level right now, but they still kept the game fairly close out at USC. So you also got to look, they did beat Clemson this year. That helps. So I think it's about an A-. I think we all were kind of putting him up on a higher pedestal than he should have been on as a head coaching debut, literally a head coaching debut.
Yeah, I agree. I'm impressed with what he did. I'm interested to see what he does in year two. Year two is going to be, I think, as good, if not better. For IU, the team that we talked a lot about Purdue in the first half of the show.
Rough for IU. Their starting quarterback put himself in the transfer portal today.
Connor Bazalek.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I definitely didn't expect that because he.
I didn't either.
Because he just transferred. Like, he literally just came from Mizzou. Huh.
He's going out as a grad transfer now, so he'll have immediate eligibility.
Gotcha.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's even tougher because we're going to ask what is a bright spot in 2022? Because I was going to see, we're going to check in, see, what might happen with Tom Allen, but he has such a big buyout that I don't think he's going anywhere for the time being. So, it's about finding bright spots on the 2022 season. I will say, there's some things to be excited about and things to hang your hat on and hope for in the coming year. I mean, there were a lot of improvements made on 2021. The offense finished statistically better than they did a year ago. They had two wins in the Big Ten as opposed to going 0 for last season. The team they beat at the beginning of the year in Illinois was in contention for the Big Ten West for a good chunk of the year. They did overcome a 17-point deficit versus Michigan State. The passing offense was in the top half of the conference. I guess that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot now that their quarterback's leaving. But I will say, Dexter Williams showed some flashes at the end of the season. The defense was bottom of the barrel, so that's not great. But I think they do have some bright spots going into 2022. I mean, the over-under, I think, was like 4 wins or 3.5, something like that. And so they hit that mark. I mean, by that logic, they met expectations this season. So I think that's something big for the IU faithful.
So I'm not going to pinpoint like a particular moment or a side of the ball or anything like that. I'm going to pinpoint one player. I'm looking at IU's Jalen Lucas. Today he won Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Year as returner of the year. He is electric. That's the type of player that you need to try to scheme around on offense. Like, there's that everybody says you need to make plays and get the ball into the hands of your best players. Well, Jalen Lucas is going to be one of IU's best players going forward. So that is a bright spot that you can actually pinpoint somebody and go, he's our centerpiece. This is where we need to build around and figure out how we can scheme around him and make this team better with him as the main focal point and build off of that. That's what successful teams are able to do. Now, the really successful teams are able to have multiple guys that are like that, but you need to figure out ways to get the ball into the hands of your best player, and Jalen Lucas is that, and part of it, the best way you're doing it already, having him back there returning kicks and punts.
Now, there is only one other school in the state of Indiana that is still playing their season. Everybody else in D2, D3, and AIA, they have all, FCS, they have all had their seasons come to a close. And so wanted to highlight the team that is still playing in the NAIA, and that is Indiana Wesleyan. So our small college football kind of storyline here, will Indiana Wesleyan win the NAIA title? They're in the semifinals this week. Marion's even lost already, no St. Francis in it. They do play Northwestern, not the Wildcats, not the Big Ten team. It's a different Northwestern in the NAIA semis this weekend. I'm going to actually be a Debbie Downer and say, no, it's kind of takes the wind out of your sails. I'm like, Oh, we're going to pump up the only other, school still playing in the state. But I think they're going to lose, unfortunately. Northwestern is better offensively and defensively statistically, and they just got off They just got off, they're coming off of blowing the doors off of Marion in the quarterfinals, and I mean, we know how good Marion is. They're a team that, you know, they're beginning of the season, you know, season opener, they won like 83-0 or whatever it was. So yeah, Northwestern, really impressive win for them. Now I will say, Da'Darian Williams for the Wildcats has been a standout at running back this season, over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. So if he can get it going, I think that the Wildcats do stand a chance. So I'm going to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm not saying it can't happen. I think Iowa could make it to the championship round, could potentially win it all. Because I think if they do get past Northwestern, then yeah, sure, I'll pick them to win the title. But as of right now, I'm going to say no, but I'm pulling for them.
I'm going to say, why not? Indiana Wesleyan wins the NAIA title. It doesn't feel like college football season without a team from Indiana winning the NAIA title.
That's true. So, it's usually St. Francis and Marion. And I mean, we've talked about it before. Iowa is just such an impressive story because that program is still so young. It's still in its infancy. And just so to see how far it's come.
That's how Marion did it, too.
Yeah.
Came out pretty impressive. And then took them a few years, but they finally did it when they were still a pretty young program. Right. So, you know, I don't know much about Indiana Wesleyan or Northwestern from the NAIA, but, and I'll admit it, but I'm just going to say, why not? Why not Indiana Wesleyan? You know, we talk about that chaos. Let's go ahead. Let's see some chaos in the NAIA. Indiana Wesleyan beats Northwestern.
Hey, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. Why not chaos? Why not Indiana Wesleyan? Why not Purdue in the Big Ten Championship? So it's going to be a fun, wild weekend of football, and I hope you guys enjoy it. That does it for this week's edition of the Crash Course Podcast. Remember, you can like us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go follow us on Twitter at 3C Media Sports. Go to the YouTube channel. A lot of good content over there. TikTok just released our state finals MV or our state tournament MVPs for offense and defense. So go check out that video. We released that today. So go show the 3C Media on TikTok some love as well. And then remember, you can listen to us every week on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course Podcast. You can find me at Crash Course FM on Twitter. B Scott, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Scott87.
Next week, we will be unveiling our all 3C Media team football from the state of Indiana this year. We're our final one. We've had a couple ones, but these are our final entries. So we'll be talking about the best high school football players in the state next week. But until then, have a good week, everybody.